News Talk 790 KFYO 739 with Tom Collins and Laura Mack in the house. The resident newsbird, Matt Crow, with a special exclusive interview this morning. Matt, please introduce your guest.
Well, we have Ambassador Nagy here over from Texas Tech. The ambassador's had a long, distinguished career with the State Department, and as anybody who's worked in Washington knows, having a long and successful career in the State Department is a testament not only to, you know, your professionalism, but also your diplomatic skills. And, you know, this last couple of weeks, we've seen, around the world, the diplomats at work, and they'll continue to work this week. With Syria, what most people want to know, Ambassador, is why should Americans be concerned about what's going on in Syria?
Yeah, that's a great question. The truth is, Syria is not key to, U.S. strategic national interests, but the signals that Syria sends to other people that we're very, very concerned about is key. Unfortunately, President Obama made the comment about the red line, and as a result of that, American credibility is pretty well on the line, so to speak. And we're talking, you know, we're thinking North Korea, we're thinking Iran, and those two countries are definitely paying attention to see whether or not we're as good as our word. It's a trap. You know, as a country, you should never paint yourself into a corner.
Well, you know, and 100,000 people have already perished in the civil war over
right.
there. Do you find it odd or interesting that now, after that period of time has gone by and 1,400 people supposedly were gassed, that now we choose to get involved? I mean, how do you reconcile that?
I really can't. It's not rational politics. It's not rational foreign policy. Because, as you say, 100,000 people have died. And then you remember in the Iraq-Iran war, the Iraqis gassed about, you know, tens of thousands of Iranians, mm-hmm. and we never said a peep then. Now, all of a sudden, when we missed our opportunity 2 years ago, mm-hmm. when we really had an opportunity, now all of a sudden we get involved on this particular step.
You know, Syria's ally, Russia, is generally not supportive of any U.S. action in Syria. Putin's made that very clear. What, in your perspective, what does that mean if we do attack? What does that mean for Russian-American relations?
I don't think it will get any worse than it is, because already it's pretty awful, probably the worst since the end of the Cold War. Putin has a couple of overriding policies. One is to tweak the Americans' nose whenever he can. And number two, by all means, he wants the regime in Syria to survive. Now, not necessarily Assad, but definitely the regime. So I think we have some wiggle room where we can come to an agreement with him, but it will require very, very careful and deft diplomacy, which the United States has not exhibited recently.
You mentioned North Korea and Iran, both of which, well, North Korea has nuclear weapons. Iran is trying to develop nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
How does the Syrian situation compare to our interests with both Iran and North Korea?
The Syrian situation is a very minor one compared to those two, because both of those countries can present existential threats. Mm-hmm. To the United States in a certain respect, and their regions are a lot more critical to U.S. well-being, even though psychologically we have great interests, you know, where Syria is with Lebanon and especially Israel.
And Assad has said that an attack on Syria will wreck the Middle East peace, will end the peace in the Middle East right now. Do you see that happening?
No, that's just pure bluster.
Uh-huh.
A lot of his policies bluster.
He's much like his father, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yep. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Ambassador Nagy. We'll be back at 7:43. Good morning. Good morning at 7:47. Collins, Mack, and resident newsbird Matt Crow with his guest, Ambassador Tibor P. Nagy, Vice Provost for International Affairs at Texas Tech University. If you have a question or comment, 770-5790. Let's go to the phones right now. Chris, you're on.
Always good to hear from the ambassador. Ambassador, you said that Syria really doesn't play a role in the proximity with the United States' policies, but with them being the neighbor to Iraq, and it was always assumed that maybe the weapons that we were looking for in Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, possibly had crossed over to Syria. Do you think these chemical weapons that they've been using on their own people have made in Russia on them? I'll listen in.
Chris, great to talk to you. I'm not sure about that, and I don't think anyone knows, but the chances are overwhelming that it's an affirmative, because Russia has openly sold weapons to the Syrian regime. It's in their interest to support them. But the other possible source would be Iran, with the weapons being transshipped through Iraq, because as we know, Iraq has a Shia-led government right now, and they're kind of looking the other way with the weapons transshipments, just like the weapons to the opposition are going from Saudi Arabia through Jordan and maybe parts of Lebanon.
Now, given what you said, Mr. Ambassador, as far as Syria being not a direct influence or direct threat to the United States, if you just kind of play acting here, if you were President Obama, what arguments do you think he's going to make to Congress this week, to the Senate and to the House members, to vote in favor of use of military force? What reasons do you think he'll give?
I think he'll make a couple of different arguments. I think one of them will be the human rights argument, that this is a horrendous thing, and if they get away with it, then the precedent is terrible. Then also the argument we were talking about a few minutes ago about the precedent to our real existential menaces, you know, North Korea and Iran, and what message that sends to them. And then there are a couple of other geopolitical arguments. One of them, which resonates, is the threat to Israel. Because, poor Israel, you can't help the neighborhood that you're in when you're a country. And it's like the person that lives next to somebody and they're always throwing the furniture around. You know, in Israel's neighborhood, the other countries are always throwing the furniture around, and some of it could hit into Israel.
We talked a little bit about about Assad's father and Assad's father's brothers, you know, the uncles there in Syria. Give us your perspective. Who is influencing Assad? Does he listen to himself? Does he listen to his father's uncles? Does he listen to the military? Where does he derive his counsel?
Well, I think Assad showed great promise when he first took over. But then he became a captive, literally, of his family. In that culture, especially a country like Syria, which is a patchwork of ethnic groups, number one, family matters more than anything else, then the immediate ethnic group. So he has to protect his family and the Alawite minority, and beyond that, he could really care less.
Good morning, News Time 751. Jay, you're on. You have a question?
Yes, sir. Mr. Ambassador, I'm retired military, spent time with the Marine Corps Special Forces and with intelligence. Why do we continually throw the devil that we know over our shoulder for the one that we don't?
I know, yeah, that's a good question. I remember, and you remember, when it first started in Egypt and everyone said this is a wonderful thing, because there's some mystique and romanticism with the crowd in the street. And I think a lot of our politicians were caught up in that, thinking that magically, in a country with no democratic history, somehow the crowd's going to overthrow the current government and bring in, you know, pure democracy. Remember back the French and the Reign of Terror, and how it ended up with a little emperor named Napoleon that took over most of Europe? Well, you know, this is the same thing. We just don't learn the lessons of history, and we somehow let our romantic hearts just get away with us as far as policy is concerned.
Those people have always been led by a strong monarch or a strong sheik. We need to figure out that they do not think the way we do.
Amen. Exactly right. That is a great point, and I wish our policymakers would hear that and would just, you know, settle in their brains.
Ambassador, go ahead.
The best horse for the race, and go with it.
Jay, thanks. Thanks for the call, Mr. Ambassador. You know, I think it's important to kind of circle back to the underpinnings of the revolution in Syria, to the uprising. What were the root causes? Why were the people rebelling against Assad?
Because of the tyranny and the dictatorship and the unequal treatment, the favoritism of the Alawites, the corruption, and they saw what was happening in the neighborhood, and they thought that, you know, Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, it's our turn. And Assad's initial reaction was just horrendous, and it caused this.
Do you think there's any chance that the rebellion would succeed without the United States' help?
It's going to be a long civil war. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, I think just by sheer exhaustion, it will stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Good morning, News Time 753. Matt Crow with special interview Ambassador Tibor P. Nagy, Jr., Vice Provost for International Affairs at Texas Tech University. We'll be back. Good morning. It is 757, 73 degrees at KFYO, Lubbock's official weather station. Interviewing Ambassador Tibor P. Nagy, Jr., Vice Provost for International Affairs at Texas Tech University with the newsbird Matt Crow. Ambassador, I had a question for you, or just a few statements I wanted to throw out there. President Obama comes out, we draw the red line in the sand. Kerry comes out and says, we have to act, we have verification, we know what's going on there. President says, we're going to do it when we want to do it. But if everything is so detrimental and non-time sensitive, which if you got hundreds of thousands of people potentially that are dying, then why are we waiting till September the 9th to have Congress back in full session?
It's the worst possible way to do it. Teddy Roosevelt was right. You speak softly, carry a big stick. Remember how President Reagan acted against Gaddafi after the Lockerbie bombing.
Right.
He went after him personally, and after that, Gaddafi never slept in the same place two nights in a row because that was a message to send, and that built up the respect of the United States of America.
Matt, this is one thing that a question that keeps rolling over in my mind. The administration has repetitively said they're not going for regime change, and they're not going after Assad. Why wouldn't we?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The president has he wants it both ways. Mm-hmm. He wants the foreign policy of the United States to prevent such activities, but he doesn't want to level the command and control structure and take out Assad. So the answer is complicated to say the least, and he hasn't done anything to alleviate that.
Absolutely.
All right, Ambassador Nagy is going to hang with us till about 8:15 this morning. Thanks for that. Appreciate that. A lot of people are interested. If you have any questions, or if you would like to make a comment, your opportunity, 770-5790. We'll get you on with Ambassador Tibor P. Nagy. Again, Vice Provost for International Affairs at Texas Tech University, very well schooled in world affairs and foreign policy. Thanks for being with us this morning. It is 7:59. We'll be back in just a few minutes. KFYO 809 with Tom Collins, Laura Mack, and Matt Crow with a special interview, Ambassador Tibor P. Nagy, Jr.
Good morning, Mr. Ambassador.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. You know, we had reports this morning that Israel tested a U.S.-backed missile system in the Mediterranean this morning. They did not announce that in advance, but it was disclosed by Russia. Defense officials are saying that two ballistic objects had been fired eastward from the center of the sea, roughly in the direction of Syria. How is this likely to heat things up over there?
I'm not sure. Well, I think that the Russians are just using that as any evidence that they can get their, you know, their hands on that we're being belligerent. I'm sure that we're not happy that it was publicized, but, you know, there it is.
You know, I'm going to put you on the spot, Mr. Ambassador. What are diplomats doing right now to avert an attack? Why isn't Senator Kerry in Moscow? Why isn't the Russian ambassador at the White House talking to Kerry? You know, what are the diplomats doing
right now? That's a really good question. I hope that they're doing a lot because at this stage, there's no way that any amount of fighting or war or activities like that is going to resolve the situation. What we have to do, and this is the hard part, is figure out where the interests of Iran, Russia, and the United States, you know, kind of end up in the same area and work on that, because there are commonalities. Everybody could go with the same outcome, i.e. the regime stays, Assad goes, Iran maintains its influence all the way to the Mediterranean. The Russians end up looking like they want a bit, we look like we want a bit by Assad leaving. So this is possible. It's not going to happen through fighting, unfortunately. We missed that opportunity about 2 years ago.
You know, Syria's historically been in league with Hezbollah. What's been al-Qaeda's influence in Syria, and how close is Assad to al-Qaeda?
Not at all. Until recently, al-Qaeda had no influence in Syria because Assad was vehemently against al-Qaeda. I mean, he was one of al-Qaeda's biggest enemies. And al-Qaeda's only gotten into Syria because of Saudi support and of giving them arms. You know, the Saudis have been arming them much, much better than we have been arming the quote-unquote good guys, if we could ever figure out who the quote-unquote good guys are.
We talked a little bit about this earlier. If the president goes to Congress and asks them, tries to convince them, talks to all the Senate Armed Services Committees, intelligence committees, talks to the House side, and they come back for a vote, and the vote is thumbs down, no attack. What's your perspective on what the next step is after that?
Well, after that, Obama's going to have a very, very difficult choice to make. He's going to be laughed at mm-hmm. by most of the world. Unfortunately, a lot of that laughter will end up with the United States in general. We will have lost a lot of respect. Winston Churchill who said, never miss an opportunity to shut up. We should follow that advice sometimes.
You brought up Churchill. That raises the question, why did the British back away from this?
Well, because they had gotten burned mm-hmm. in Iraq, and I think the British rightly realize it's a coalition government there, mm-hmm. and they needed public support. They couldn't just hang out with us alone like they did before.
And the Germans, Merkel, said basically the same thing. Now, she's in a campaign, though, right now.
Yeah, they're in a political campaign, and the Germans, since World War II, are extremely anti-war. Mm-hmm. So from their point of view, this would be the worst time to ask them to hit someone in the face with a cream pie.
And why would the French be supportive? I mean, give us that reason. I mean,
well, I mean, historically, that area is a French area of interest. Remember, Syria was a French collar, protectorate, briefly. So for the French, Lebanon, Syria, the quote-unquote Levant, as we call it, is almost as high interest an area as sub-Saharan Africa.
You mentioned Reagan earlier acting after the Lockerbie bombing and sending the bombers over to Tripoli to try and take Gaddafi out. What are the risks, though, when a president acts unilaterally like that, doesn't consult Congress, doesn't consult his allies, just goes ahead and says, launch an airstrike?
I think the risks are much smaller than if you try to follow the path that you do now, because it was a very, very precise, hit very quickly over, mm-hmm. done with. It didn't succeed in getting Gaddafi, but it certainly succeeded in shaking him up to the point that he backed away from the terrorism business real fast. I think we ended up killing one of his sons mm-hmm. at the time, but it was a real message to him, and he got it.
The Israelis... Where do they come out on top of this?
It's very difficult for them because mm-hmm. they don't want to see regime change. Mm-hmm. Because, it's the example of the devil they had a comfortable, quote-unquote, working relationship with Assad. And for them, the horror would be for an al-Qaeda regime to come into place. One, or the second horror would be just ongoing instability, which keeps hitting them, with not huge tidal waves, but lower waves.
When you're in your diplomatic post, of course, you took your instruction from Washington.
Yeah.
You didn't set policy. You right. enforced policy yeah.
or we recommended
policy.
Yeah.
As far as what you think will happen to the situation over there, is this going to, taking a long-term look at American relations with the Middle East, is this going to rise to a level of utmost seriousness, or is this going to be a bump in the road?
I think it's going to be a huge bump in the road. I mean, historically, these conflicts in the Middle East end up terminating when the participants have worn themselves out, and this will be, unfortunately, the same thing.
I just want to change the subject real quick. Dennis Rodman's in North Korea this morning.
oh, please.
Is good or bad for North Korea and the United States relations?
I think that's totally neutral. He admits at least that he's not carrying any diplomatic instructions. And, mm-hmm. Anything to keep that crazy guy occupied from, planning mischief is good. I hope he stays there for a couple of years.
Let's just hope we don't see Kim Jong and D. Rodman twerking.
What an image.
Mr. Ambassador, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah.
Thank you, Ambassador, for being with us. Thanks for spending time with us. Hey, this has been an interview with Matt Crow and Ambassador Tibor P. Nagy in Hungarian. He is the Vice Provost for International Affairs at Texas Tech University. We'll stay in touch with the ambassador as things develop, and they are sure to develop and expand over in Syria. It's 16 minutes after the hour. Good morning.